From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Hayward, California.
Nopa, kind of lower Russian Hill.
I live across from El Metate in San Francisco.
Coming up, we're taking today's show on the road. We'll talk with the San Francisco Bike Coalition about life on two wheels.
Think about, you know, whether that person on the bike could be your neighbor, could be your daughter's teacher, could be your dentist.
We'll check out an urban riding class.
It's the opposite of what you want to do. If you feel that, oh my God, I think they're going to hit me, it's too close, that means you need to move to the left. They may honk at you, and that means you're visible.
And we'll hear what bicyclists really think about while they're riding.
Broke a spoke.
Crack grease on my cuff.
Too many cars.
One less car.
99% emission free.
I don't wear a helmet.
Everyone should wear a helmet.
You'll probably want a helmet.
Door!
I'm wearing mine today on Cross Currents. Today I'm biking up, down, and across San Francisco. From the Golden Gate Bridge to Crissy Field, from the Ferry Building to Ocean Beach, then across the south side of the city to McLaren Park, where KALW studios are. Right now, I just finished crossing the Golden Gate Bridge, and I'm headed down towards Crissy Field. And I wanted to share my top favorite things about biking across the Golden Gate Bridge. Number one, the views. Everywhere you look, whether it's down across the famous San Francisco skyline, if it's across to Alcatraz in the bay, the sailboats out on the water, if it's back behind you to the Marin Headlands, or out across the Pacific Ocean in the Golden Gate, it's beautiful. Number two, the wildlife. Look down into the water, you can see porpoises and seals swimming. See seagulls and cormorants, saw pelicans flying overhead. It's fantastic, and you don't see that everywhere in the bay. Number three, it's the Golden Gate Bridge. Come on. Number four, the tourists. That must be one of the most international places in the world. From Vista Point to Vista Point and all the way across, you can hear so many languages and see so many different faces. And number five, no tolls. Right now, as I head southeast across the city, I'm passing a cable car, Powell and Market, coming into a stop here near Fisherman's Wharf. I'm going to continue on this path as I make my way through the people and the cars, wending my way through Fisherman's Wharf. We're going to speed things up a little bit to save some time. I'll meet you over at Market Street. This is practically a cobblestone street. This thing is not made for biking. All right. We've made it several blocks up from the base of Market Street at the Embarcadero now, and we're approaching the Commercial Shopping Center of San Francisco. Right up here, subtly hidden next to the glitzy Westfield Shopping Center, is the San Francisco Bike Coalition. It's big and lofty feeling up there. There's a wall filled with hooks for bikes. This is the brain trust of the city's bike movement. And the person in charge is SFBC's executive director, Leah Shaham, and she has a vision.
Imagine riding from literally the Ferry Building along the bay on the east side of the city all the way out to the ocean and the west side of the city. Imagine riding down Market Street through the Lower Haight, connecting onto the Panhandle and then into Golden Gate Park. Imagine that being a ride that you really felt safe and comfortable bringing your child on.
In a city where biking is a huge part of many people's daily experience, including mine, Shaham and the Bike Coalition are doing everything they can to improve that experience. Let's join her in the Coalition's conference room to hear more of her thoughts on the future of bicycling in San Francisco.
So there's some key pieces there that are gaps right now that really aren't, frankly, as inviting as they should be. One of the big ones is the stretch of Fell and Oak Streets right before you get into the Panhandle. And folks that bike there probably know this area. It's basically three blocks from the Lower Haight area up to the Panhandle. That's a pretty scary three blocks. I mean, Fell and Oak Streets are very fast streets for auto traffic. They can be a little bit intimidating. So what we're proposing are dedicated bikeways, one on each of the streets, one way, one direction, so that people can ride into the Panhandle and out of the Panhandle. They can connect to the western part of the city and all the neighborhoods there, into Golden Gate Park, and then, of course, to downtown and regional transit on the east side.
But in order to do that, don't you have to take away a lane of car traffic? And those are already pretty congested different streets, especially Oak going towards the Octavia Ramp.
There are different ways that the city is looking at. The engineers are kind of playing with different options there. You know, it's possible that a travel lane would be removed. It may be more likely that a parking lane would be removed. I think that the way they're looking right now, it's possible that the parking on one side of the street for those three blocks would be removed to make room for the dedicated bikeway. What we feel really encouraged about and we're helping with at the Bicycle Coalition is trying to find some replacement parking, because we know that that can be tough. So looking around the neighborhood, you know, within a block or two or three, for areas that you can squeeze in more parking, you can turn the parking different angles. You may be able to use some parking lots in the area that are underused in the evenings, dedicate that to neighborhood parking. I think there's some creative solutions to lessen the impact there.
Now, I'd like to change gears, and I have to say that came into my mind before, and I know it's just so obvious to use different road and bike, you know, cliches here, but anyway, I had to. So the San Francisco bike plan finally got on the road, so to speak. I'm wondering about some of the choices that were made and where to improve bike traffic. I understand that there are bike lanes going in Golden Gate Park, which, from my perspective, living out near there, is already really wide streets that seem pretty safe to me already.
Yeah, great question. And to your point of a lot going down, about 17 miles of new bike lanes have been striped since mid-2010. So it's a huge increase, and a lot more are queued up. One of those that is queued up right now is JFK Drive. It's the eastern half of Golden Gate Park. And the plan that's actually going to be implemented there probably in the next week or two is the city's first parking-protected bikeway. Imagine the parking lanes that are there kind of being moved out more into the center of the street, and the bikeway, the dedicated bikeway, will be against the curb or against the green space or the sidewalk area, so that people biking actually have that physical separation from the moving traffic. And JFK Drive was, we think, a great place to try this because it is a very wide street, as you mentioned. It's way wider than most streets in San Francisco, so there was room there to try something different.
That's Leah Shaham. She's executive director of the San Francisco Bike Coalition. So I, as a regular bicyclist, have a big concern, and that is about the rules of the road. So bicyclists, just out of convenience, aren't really following car rules, and cars aren't really waiting for bicycles going 15 miles per hour slower in their lane to go by. It creates dangerous situations. Do you think that those rules are right, that that's the way that the rules should be?
You know, I think there's some definite improvements that can be made, changes that can be made. I mean, I feel like some things the city's doing already here in San Francisco is showing positive results. A great example is the Green Wave. This is on Valencia Street, and hopefully it'll be rolled out elsewhere. But Valencia Street, basically, the middle part of Valencia Street, the lights, the traffic lights have been timed for the average bicycle rider's speed. And what this means is there's so many people on biking on Valencia Street that the city traffic engineers really understood, hey, why don't we time this in a way so that it's accommodating and encouraging the people biking? That's great. Now, it's also been good for people driving because, in my opinion, they're slowing down a little bit. They're still moving through the lights. They're having to stop and start less. That's a good thing for the environment. It's good for their gas mileage and stuff. But most importantly for everybody, it's moving everybody at a slower, frankly, more predictable and safe speed. And again, that's most important for pedestrians, for people crossing.
That's Leah Shaham. She's executive director of the San Francisco Bike Coalition. What would you say to car drivers? Most people who are listening are not bicyclists or don't bike regularly, and they just see bicyclists, say, breaking rules or getting in their ways or things like that.
You know, I think the environment out there has gotten a lot better between people biking and people driving. In the last 10 years or so, I've really seen a kind of a calming down of it in general. I think it's partly because there are so many more people bicycling. So I would say, you know, to everybody out on the road, be thinking about, you know, how we share the road. It sounds kind of goofy, but it's the really important words, I think, is, you know, how do we share the road? How do we coexist out there? Think about, you know, whether that person on the bike could be your neighbor, could be your daughter's teacher, could be your dentist, could be a friend of yours, because the growing number of people biking means that it's all of us.
That's Leah Shaham, executive director of the San Francisco Bike Coalition.
This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, and I'm back on my bike. I have just hit 8th and Market, which is where one of these big improvements in the city has come. It is a part of Market Street that's completely dedicated to bikes. The far right side, where I'm riding right now as I go up the hill, is painted green. It doesn't last all that long, but it does make a very visible difference for both bicyclists and for cars. As I continue up Market Street along the green painted asphalt pathways, past Van Ness and towards the Wiggle, let's go ahead and hear another top five list. This one is from one writer's take on bicycling told many years ago.
My name is Seth Samuel, and the five best sentences from Mark Twain's Taming the Bicycle from 1917 are as follows. 5. No, and I see now, plainly enough, that the great pity about the German language is that you can't fall off it and hurt yourself. 4. In order to keep my position, a good many things were required of me, and in every instance, the thing required was against nature. 3. The bicycle had what is called the wabbles, and had them very badly. 2. We got up a handsome speed and presently traversed a brick, and I went out over the top of the tiller and landed, head down, on the instructor's back and saw the machine fluttering in the air between me and the sun. 1. Get a bicycle. You will not regret it if you live.
Those were the words of Mark Twain as read by KALW's Seth Samuel. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney. And right now I'm pedaling up Market Street just past the Octavia Highway on-ramp, right by the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Center, and across the street from It's Tops Fountain Coffee Shop, which has always advertised awesome hotcakes. As I manage this hill, I think of some of the different challenges that bicyclists have. There's people who could jump out in front of you on the street. There are cars, of course. There are doors that can open, just like that one right there. There are bikes, taxi drivers, all kinds of things. Pretty vulnerable here on your bike. To overcome those fears, some people take biking classes, not to learn how to ride, but to learn how to ride in the city. KALW's Julie Kane took a class and came back with this report. I've got it on my phone here. Let's listen to that now while we bike the Wiggle.
When I was a kid, I rode everywhere, all the time. But now that I'm an adult living in a big city, I find lots of reasons not to get on my bike. It's not that I don't like riding, it's just that I'm kind of afraid. It's intimidating out there. I don't really know the rules, and I have to admit, I'm also kind of vain. Not only do I look incredibly goofy in a bike helmet, but I get possibly the worst helmet hair of anyone you've ever met. So every morning, I weigh the options. Either I pollute the earth by driving my car to work, or I do the right thing and ride my bike. You can't always do the right thing. I feel really badly about all this, so I've decided to take action.
The first thing you want to do is make sure your bike is in working order.
It's a sunny morning, and Bonnie Wayman is taking me on an urban bike riding class in downtown Oakland. Wayman is the education director at the East Bay Bicycle Coalition, and anybody can take her classes. They're completely free, funded by sales taxes. We meet outside the Lake Merritt BART station, so she can give me some basic pointers before we start our ride.
We have a very simple little test we do called the ABC Quick Check. A is for air. You want to reach down and give your tires a squeeze.
So will you feel mine and tell me what you think?
That feels pretty squishy.
Uh-oh. Squishy? Yeah. That can't be good.
B is for brakes. One of the tests you can do to make sure that your brakes are going to work right is to squeeze your brakes and push your bike forward and see if it'll move. C is for, you want to make a guess what C is for?
Coffee.
C is for your chain. So you want to look down and make sure that your chain is actually on.
Okay, I know what you're thinking. For a lot of you, ABC could also stand for awfully basic check. But for someone like me, just going through the process makes me feel a lot more confident.
So should we put some air in your tire?
That would be great. Yeah.
While we get ready to go, Wayman teaches me another of her bike riding mantras. She's got a lot of them, but this is the most important one. She tells me that the best way to stay safe on a bike is to be
visible, predictable, and aware.
As I'm about to find out, that means I should use lights and reflectors and brightly colored clothing. I should ride with traffic, not against it. And I should boldly take lanes, even if I make drivers really, really mad.
It's the opposite of what you want to do. If you feel that, oh my God, I think they're going to hit me, it's too close, that means you need to move to the left. They may honk at you, and that means you're visible. Good job, Julie.
Okay, if they honk, I'm visible. That's good. But I still think I'm going to need additional protection, which is a problem.
Julie, we're going to put our helmets on.
To me, helmets mean one thing.
You know, if you're going somewhere and you know you're going to have helmet head, to have some cute little hat that you put on right after and then you wear a hat for the day and you're sort of jaunty. That might be another option.
Oh, I like the idea of being sort of jaunty.
Because hairstyles are not her top priority, Wayman makes sure I've got my helmet on right. Yep, she's got a mantra for that, too.
Eyes, ears, mouth.
That is, you should be able to see the top of your helmet when you look up. Your ear straps should come to a V underneath your ears, and your chin strap should be tight, but still loose enough to let you open and close your mouth.
Okay, so we know our bike's ready to go.
Yes.
We know our helmets fit.
Check.
And Wayman then tells me what may be my very favorite factoid of the class, that the vast majority of bike crashes don't involve cars or other bikes or even pedestrians. Most of the time, people just fall over. All by themselves. Which means it's time for another mantra. Power pedal up.
One pedal up, one pedal down.
I like this mantra the best. Power pedal up, power pedal up. It's like summoning the only bike riding superpower I have, which I'm gonna need because it's finally time to start our ride.
All right, so power pedal, beautiful. Shoulder check over your left shoulder, make sure nobody's coming. And we go.
We're taking a 3-mile ride along Lake Merritt, through Oakland Chinatown, and eventually under the 880 freeway. Wayman rides in front, which makes me happy because I am actually pretty nervous. We're riding right in the flow of cars.
All right, we are going to turn left here. And we are on the right side of the lane. So, first I'm going to look behind me, check nobody's coming, put my left arm to signal that I'm moving over.
Oh, it's scary.
Signal.
I actually wish I had one of those student driver orange triangles on my back so people would know to give me a wide berth. But then I start to relax a little and even enjoy myself.
I am seeing all these great things that I've never seen before. I'm so excited. There's a vintage and treasure shop that I've never seen in my life. And this looks like kind of a Ethiopian market.
I'm getting pretty comfortable on my bike now, enjoying the ride and the sunny day in Oakland. And then it's time to head into the complicated traffic of Chinatown.
I'm kind of scared.
What worries you?
I'm afraid of getting hit by a car.
Okay.
Yeah.
The flow of traffic will move with you and see you and work around you if you're in it with them.
We merge into traffic, dodging double parked delivery trucks and pedestrians who dart out suddenly from between boxes of produce piled high on the sidewalks. Ahead of us is the roaring 880 freeway. I kind of want to just end the ride here and grab some dim sum and call it a day. But then the light turns green.
Okay, we're going straight through.
And we ride our bikes right under the freeway. And then we emerge. We're in the quiet warehouse zone around Jack London Square. Birds are chirping. It's another part of town I've never really seen before. I still feel nervous around all those cars, and I still don't love the helmet hair. But I do like just riding around in the streets in the city. My city. The city which, thanks to my bike, I've seen a little more of. In Oakland, I'm Julie Kane for Cross Currents.
What are your best tips for biking safely in urban areas? Share them with us on our tip line. It's 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. We'd like to share them with the rest of our audience. We've made it into Golden Gate Park, past the beautiful Conservatory of Flowers, and now biking by the Music Concourse with the Academy of Sciences on one side and the DeYoung Museum on the other. Traffic is calm in this part of the park, and it's also where Leah Shame from the San Francisco Bike Coalition was talking about some further improvements taking place. As she mentioned, this is a very wide avenue. Cars are parked on the right, but they're going to be parked right where I'm biking right now, about a quarter of the way into the road. And I'll be over there by the curb. Could be safer. It'll definitely be striking. And if they have the green bike lanes like they do in downtown, then it'll certainly be a signature of San Francisco's bikeways. So we've come to the western end of Golden Gate Park. We're approaching the newly refurbished Murphy Windmill. It's a huge windmill. Actually, it's the largest wood-frame Dutch-style windmill in the world. And it's a sentry over the Pacific Ocean. As we come to the end of Martin Luther King Jr. Drive here, the sand dunes come into sight. And beyond those is the Great Highway. It's incredible to come through the city of San Francisco and to emerge here from Golden Gate Park to the big waves of the Pacific Ocean. This is a peaceful area with nature in full force. People moving at a slower pace than they do in the urban parts of town. But that, of course, is a domain for many bicyclists in the city, bike messengers who are delivering packages all around the financial district. Those people have quite a lot to say about bike culture, and one of them volunteers at KALW. It's Katie Steyer. Here's what she has to say about delivering parcels in San Francisco.
Okay. Top 5 bike messenger gripes. Number 5. Office suits asking with mild amusement, "Oh man, is it wet out there?" when you are soaking wet and it's a rainy day. Number 4. Bike commuters using the best lockup poles and racks in front of the most heavily trafficked buildings all day long. Number 3. Minibuses that pop the air pressure valve on their brakes the exact moment you pass by. Number 2. The slow service entrance elevators you have to take. 560 Mission and 550 Mission are the worst. And the number 1 bike messenger gripe. Last time I checked, my 10-speed didn't come with a colostomy bag. Can I please use your office's restroom? Please.
That's bike messenger and KALW volunteer Katie Steyer. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, and I'm biking south along the Great Highway with the Pacific Ocean stretched out to my right. Today's show is all about bikes. And out here, where it's peaceful and calm, it's hard to imagine the wars that take place between bikes and cars, but we all know they take place. It's most obvious on the last Friday of every month, when thousands of cyclists take over downtown San Francisco for the Critical Mass Ride. A few years ago, my colleague Zoe Corneli and I decided to profile the event. So we interviewed the founders, strapped a mic to my bike, and recorded a ride on the ever-changing route. Let's give that story a listen.
Well, it starts by itself. The only thing that's constant about Critical Mass is it starts the last Friday of the month in San Francisco, and at the same spot every month, and usually around 6 o'clock or so, and people gather, and then somehow one person gets impatient, starts ringing his bell or her bell.
All right, we're ready to go.
The next thing you know, we're going.
Hi, my name's Chris Carlson, and I'm 48 years old, and I've been riding my bicycle in San Francisco since a long time ago, 1978.
My name is Anna Sojourner, and I'm 37, and I started going to Mass pretty soon after it started, sometime in late 92 or early 93. And,
hi, my name's John Winston. I've been involved with Critical Mass for maybe about 10, 12 years, about a year after it started.
And as a daily commuter for all these years, I was very interested in improving conditions for bicyclists and being part of a different way of being in the streets on bicycle. And
it's really important to understand the conditions that Mass started under.
Drivers used to throw things out the window at you and tell you to ride on the sidewalk, and they would try to run you off the road, and there were no bike lanes, and if you tried to take the lane, it was considered, trespassing or something.
Every single ride I took, I got harassed. I got people yelling at me out of cars, a lot of obscenities, a lot of sexualized, sort of violent, threatening things. I had people, pound on their horn and pass me with just inches to spare, and that was not just common, it was absolutely every day. And
Beginning of it was essentially a bunch of people who had been talking about the idea of riding together as a political statement, as an act of reclaiming the city and the
streets. To be with people who weren't afraid to say that we've just gone too far with automobiles. We've just gone too far with them. To hear them say what I'd secretly been thinking all those years, I mean, it was incredibly liberating.
And so there was a climate that had been well established of sort of thinking about doing things as a swarming crowd of people on bikes, as a political statement, as a statement of another way of living, actually.
They were going to call it Commute Clot or something, which was a terrible name.
I wasn't around when it was called the Commute Clot. I think the first few rides it was called the Commute Clot. But Ted White made a movie about called The Return of the Scorcher.
And he talks about how traffic worked in China, where the bikes would just come to an intersection and they'd have to stop because there would be cars going through the intersection. But eventually there would be enough bikes that the bikes would just come in and take over and stop the cars.
Basically, there'd be a bunch of cross traffic, and then the bicycles would move into the intersection. Like one person would sort of look for a break in the traffic, he'd move, and then they would attain critical mass, as the narrator says.
There's a few other ideas bandied about, but I met this woman once, and she said that she was the one who said, "It's like a big critical mass," and so it took off.
And about 50 people came to the first one, and then the next one was a little more than that, and the next one after that was over 100, and then, before we knew it, we were several hundred, and then a year later, there was 1,000. And then from then, of course, the story in San Francisco has grown quite a bit, and we've had thousands and thousands of riders, sometimes as many as 7,000 to 10,000 people out on bicycles.
And the neat thing about it, as a cyclist, is, there's just every kind of cyclist, every kind, recumbents, and what's really fun is there will be bike tourists almost every month from out of town.
You get 47-year-olds like myself, and you get lots of the young kids on fixed-gear bikes with the little Campagnolo hats and the fathers with kids on the back and trailers full of kids and
people on super expensive bikes and people just on the rattiest things that they pulled out of the trash. So that's always fun.
It's kind of like this little town square where there's all this conversation going on, and friends are meeting each other and they're talking among their little groups. And
so long about 6 o'clock, people start getting restless and they stand there and they ring their bells and everybody rings their bells and people start whooping and screaming, and bit by bit they leave, and we all sort of ribbon out of Justin Herman Plaza, and it's always very slow right in the beginning. It's almost better to walk your bike than try to ride it, and gradually we start going somewhere.
In the old days, in the first few years, we used to always publish a route. A lot of different people published routes proposing where we would go, and we'd follow it pretty carefully, and sometimes they had themes and sometimes they didn't, but it was always a way of sort of organizing the movement through the streets. And after a certain point in time, we just realized we really don't need that. People are pretty good at spontaneously choosing where to go and making mostly good decisions, not always.
Whoever's in front is really in charge of the ride, and you can't stay in front forever, so usually sort of the leadership gets passed around, kind of like we're all leaders.
Which creates major chaos, of course, but the point of it is not to create chaos, but to actually alter the use of the streets of the city.
When you're on a bicycle, you're forced to talk to people. Even when you're just riding in a group on Market Street with people you don't know, it's a very social activity, and it takes a big city and makes it into a small town. And
hi, this is Jeff McMullen. I've got my daughter in the back and 2 kids in the front. In fact, I had the first oldest daughter in critical mass about 10 years ago.
My name is Caitlin Walsh, and I'm in 6th grade. I love critical mass. I've done it ever since I was little, and I love being with my family.
And learning that bikes are a safe way to travel around the city. Learning how, yes, with a group of people, you can have the respect of motorists and enjoy riding around the city.
It was a very friendly mass in the beginning, much more so than today.
Oh, there's always a group of people that, you know, a very small, usually it's only one or two people that, you know, want to hit a car, you know, or they feel empowered by being in a group, and they misunderstand that they think that we're there to smash cars or something. And every now and then they crop up, and it causes a lot of soul searching when something like that happens. The last few rides, a few things have happened.
To criticize the cyclists first, I think that there's always going to be an element who cower in groups and take advantage of being in a large group to exercise their own aggression. At the same time, I think that there are any number of drivers who think that we have no right to be where we are.
Everybody out of the way! Oh, the bike got caught there. He hit him there. I was just looking at the car. It looks like he hit the fender and the bumper and right up into the windshield.
That's a felony!
It must have been his head to get that side of the windshield like that. Head there, right here, who knows?
And unfortunately, a lot of times, people's first impulse is to come there with fairly limited ideas of what it means. So they think, oh, it's class war, cars against bikes. That's false. And it takes a little while to get it across to people that, you know what, that's a very oversimplified and rather self-defeating way of characterizing what we're doing here. You actually need to think about it in terms of people in the cars as your allies, because all of us have something at stake together against this organization of life.
Today, mass is a phenomenon that exists, that's been defined. And in the beginning, we were defining it, and it took a lot of work. Today, I think there are people who aren't radicalized, but they ride bikes, and I'm really glad they're safe, and they feel safe, and they don't need to carry this ideology with them just to get on their bike. I want everybody to ride bikes.
But and today, nowadays, there's a lot of young people who were just kids when the whole thing started, and or maybe not even born, and they definitely get it. You know, you see them at the front, and they know to ride slowly. They're not jumping ahead too fast, and they're concerned when bad things happen. They try to figure out ways to get, you know, to influence events so that things are positive. And it evolves. It continues to evolve. But basically, there's not much to evolve. It's a very simple
idea. The most important idea that came out of critical mass, the very most important idea, is that we didn't have to wait around for the world we wanted. We didn't have to wait around for it to be handed to us. We could get together and make it. And we made it by passing out flyers and telling each other what we wanted, and by talking to each other. And we took over the streets and we made them the way we wanted to live.
So beautiful. So, you know, we've just had amazing chances of really living in San Francisco, in the beautiful city that we're in, and really seeing it from a different point of view in this huge rolling crowd of people having interesting conversations and just breathing and tasting it as we go.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney. And I'm on Persia Street now, approaching the base of McLaren Park. It's been a long ride today, but it's been fun. While I head up the hill to the studio, here's Youth Radio's Alex Candia with some more tips for having fun while biking.
Number 5. Riding a bike doesn't mean you have to sacrifice fashion. I suggest wearing leggings and wedges. Number 4. Take your date for a ride. My boyfriend and I had our first date on bikes, and we still bike around all the time. Number 3. Be adventurous. There are so many awesome things to do in the Bay Area that are way more fun on a bike than utilizing other forms of transportation. Number 2. Know your bicycle-friendly routes. As a female biker, having an angry driver yelling profanities at me or someone obsessively honking at me because they think I'm cute is not how I want to start my day. And finally, number 1. Safety. I'd much prefer heading home from a party or local bar on my bike than to get behind the wheel of a motorized vehicle. Just saying.
That's Youth Radio reporter Alex Candia. You can hear all of our top 5 lists, plus a few others, on our website. We're KALW.org. Climbing Mansell, heading up to the top of McLaren Park. You've been listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. Today's team includes Hannah Baba, Julie Kane, Martina Castro, Jen Sheehan, Zoe Corneli, Audrey Dilling, Chris Hoff, Artem Konohos, Yulia Lundberg, Eric Amu, Rena Palta, Stephen Short, and Neil Swinkles. Downshift. Today, we bid goodbye to KALW volunteer Holly J. McDeed, who shares this list of differences between biking in Oakland, where she lives, and biking in New Jersey, where she's from.
No one, except my dad, rides his bike in New Jersey. Most bike riding in New Jersey should be done on a sidewalk, for safety purposes. In Oakland, do not do that. That is illegal. In Oakland, it is possible to leave your bike on a bus bike rack, because Oakland buses have bike racks. In Oakland, there are bicycle paths for you to ride on. In Oakland, bikes are considered moving vehicles. In New Jersey, bikers are still pedestrians, so you may get hit by a car at will and still have the right of way all day, every day in New Jersey. In Oakland, be careful.
New Jersey's also a little bit flatter, Holly. We're going to miss you. Today's show is produced by Casey Miner. It was engineered by Seth Samuel. Holly Kernan is the news director. Cross Currents theme music is provided by Oakland's John Santos Quintet. And thanks to you, we are listener-supported radio. Tune in to Cross Currents Monday at 5. We'll go behind the scenes with the makers of Radiolab.
There are repeats, there are repeats, there are repeats, and there are sounds, and there are stretched vowels that don't exist in the normal language, but he sort of stretches them or something. And at first, when I heard that, I thought, like, this is ridiculous.
That's Monday at 5 on Cross Currents.
Bicycle, bicycle.
For Cross Currents, mounting the hill at the top of McLaren Park, I'm Ben Trefney.
I want to